happen by chance. As long as my God holds the world in his hands, I know that there's no such thing as unplanned.
Greetings and welcome back to Livestream, your weekly dose of life here on Monday between 4:30 and 5:00 only on Good News Community Radio, the station that brings you hope. And yes, this is Livestream, your weekly dose of life with Vaughn, aka the Cyber Hitchhiker, for those that know me on other channels. And it's great to be back in studio with you guys this week. And for those that tune in regularly, we have been discussing from last week and previously a little bit about the Supreme Court justice in America and the decision that they might or might not be making in order to overturn the Roe versus Wade case, which set the precedent in America for abortion in 1973 and allowed abortion on demand to start happening from a federal and constitutional level, even though the Constitution of the United States does not mention or make place for abortion in any way. And what we are seeing with this leaked document that has happened is that it is very possible, and we've got a 90% chance plus, that the decision will be overturned. But what will the consequences be for overturning Roe versus Wade? Yes, it's from a federal level, you will no longer have a federal law stating that abortion is legal and that states have to have laws allowing abortion. It basically will be giving the rights back to the states. So it doesn't mean that abortion is going to be banned in America. Let's get that straight right now. What it does mean is that each state, depending on how liberal or conservative or how Christian or secular they are, they will then be able to decide what they want to do. Now, for this week's episode, I've got Abby Johnson, and we were very lucky to get her comments on what is going on in America. Now, for those that don't know, Abby Johnson's life story was made into a movie, which I recommend every Christian should watch. It is called The Unplanned Movie, or Unplanned, and it is based on her life story, on her as a mother, or her as a person who ran a Planned Parenthood clinic in America and who had abortions herself and also promoted abortions and was one of the top sellers of abortions through Planned Parenthood for many years before she came to the realization that she was actually helping with the murder of innocent children through the unborn babies that were being aborted at her clinic specifically. She gives her reactions based on her thoughts on the recent Supreme Court leak. She also speaks about the chaos that might ensue in America. And when you hear the details that she goes into, and she goes really in depth on a state level of how these changes will affect each state depending on what their laws are, which is quite interesting. She also gives her personal views on what she thinks should happen going forward and how we should react to this. Now, we know that Justice Samuel Alito, he wrote in the court document from the Supreme Court, "Roe was egregiously wrong from the very start. We hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled," and this was written in the document labeled the opinion of the court, which was leaked. "And it is time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives." That's basically on a state level. "The immediate impact of the ruling as drafted in February would be the end to a half a century of guaranteed federal constitutional protection for abortion rights," which means they will no longer be protected by the government. "And it'll allow each state to decide whether they restrict or ban abortion completely." Now, it is unclear if there have been subsequent changes to this draft that was leaked, all 98 pages of it. And you heard me mention last week how the extreme left in America has now leaked the addresses of the judges who are the more conservative judges in the Supreme Court. And they are threatening them with violence and protest action outside their homes and directly involving them and their families in very violent and unsafe protests that they are threatening these judges with now. The draft opinion offers an extraordinary window into the justice's deliberations. Like I said, it was an extensive leak. In one of the most consequential cases before the court in the last 5 decades, that is correct. It is one of the biggest cases in history that is busy going down right now. And before I take up any more of your time, let's get into this with Abby Johnson and her thoughts as she discusses what this means on a state level and gives us a detailed breakdown of where each state stands regarding pro-life laws and issues related to mothers in crisis and abortion in particular. So here is Abby Johnson.
I'm pro-life, that's why I stand for life.
I will speak for those who cannot speak for themselves.
Abortion is murder, that's why adoption is a better option.
I will speak for those who can't speak for themselves.
Adoption is a better option.
I speak for those that cannot speak for themselves.
I stand for life.
Adoption is the better option.
Me, I choose life.
I wanted to come on and give you guys a little bit of commentary about just all of the things that are happening right now because of the leaked draft opinion regarding Roe v. Wade. And it's, you know, it's an exciting time. I was on my way back from the grocery store. I feel like all of the crazy things that have ever happened in my life have revolved around being at the grocery store. When I got the phone call from the White House and they asked me to come and speak at the Republican National Convention, I was actually in Walmart shopping with my kids and getting school supplies for them. And I get a call from the White House, which was crazy. And then I, you know, we hear this about this leaked draft. I had just gotten back from the grocery store and was pulling into my driveway, and I see this news come across from Politico. And a lot of people have been, you know, I've been doing a lot of media. A lot of people have been asking me about this. And, you know, there's sort of a lot to be said. We don't know just a ton about it yet because, of course, it has not been finalized yet. The interesting thing about it is that, you know, people have said, and this is what I believe, too, that this had never happened before, that there had never been a leak come from the Supreme Court, but that's actually not true. The actual Roe decision was incidentally leaked to the media before the opinion came out from the court. So, you know, abortion and the Supreme Court has always been such a contentious issue and has been leaked to the media or has been leaked to the press before the Supreme Court has made their decision. Both times, when Roe was put into place, and now it looks like when Roe is going to be overturned. So, what does this mean? A lot of people have said, you know, now the justices cannot come out and make, you know, they're not allowed to come out and make comment about this. Of course, Chief Justice Roberts did come out and say that yes, this is true. This is a legitimate opinion. This is a legitimate document that was leaked. You know, is the leak a good thing? No, of course not. The leak is a terrible thing. Whoever did do this needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. This jeopardizes the court. It jeopardizes the truthfulness. This is a terrible breach of the highest court in our country. No matter what you feel about abortion or Roe or the justices or no matter what it is, this is a terrible thing. We should be able to trust our Supreme Court. We should be able to trust those who work inside of the Supreme Court. And now there has been a terrible breach of trust. And so, you know, of course, the left is saying, oh, this person is a hero. But that if it were the opposite way, if it were the other way around, they would not be saying that. So This is not a good thing for this to happen. Secondly, you know, while we are, of course, you know, celebrating the fact that it does look like the court is going to overturn Roe, which is what we have wanted. Yes, that's absolutely what we have wanted. You know, make no mistake that this means that things are going to get exponentially worse in our country. And I say that not to be like a fear monger or anything, but I say that just to present some reality to the pro-life movement and to people who may be listening. Now, just sort of practically, what does it mean? Well, it means that when Roe is overturned, which, you know, everybody had always said, okay, it's going to be on, you know, it's going to be overturned, or we're going to hear from the court probably in late June. We're hearing now that it could be as soon as May 16th that we actually hear from the court. They could have, they could, and they should actually move up the date that they issue their opinion now that this draft has been leaked. It would be in everyone's best interest. It would be in our country's best interest to go ahead and move up the date of the final opinion being put out, now that we know what that's going to be. So what this means, though, is that it doesn't mean that abortion goes away. It means that abortion goes back to the states. And it should have always been a state issue, because states should have the ability to make a decision based on the will of their people. And many states have always had a vested interest in protecting the preborn. And states like Texas, many states have had something written in their state constitution. They have had, you know, something written in their laws for many years, back like in the 1800s, that said that there should be protection for the preborn. But of course, then, you know, Roe superseded that state constitutional law. And so they haven't been able to, you know, put forward those laws that are on their books, even constitutional law, state constitutional law. So with Roe overturned, now they will be able to go back to those previous laws that were on the books, whether it's state constitutional law or many states, about a dozen states have what is called a trigger ban. And a trigger ban, which is what we have here in Texas, what many states have, is a law that is triggered in the case of Roe v. Wade being overturned, which would make abortion illegal. And so this is sort of where we are. There will be 26 states where abortion will be immediately illegal, and not available. Those 26 states, they comprise 40% of reproductive age women in the country. So a little under half of women in the country will not have easily available access to abortion. So in order to get an abortion, they would have to cross state lines. They would have to go into a different country, whatever it may be. Of course, many states, you know, will then, you know, move the ball. They'll swing that pendulum all the way to the left, right? And we've already seen that in states like New Jersey and, you know, Maryland and Colorado. And these states are trying to codify Roe. And so they are trying to make it so that abortion is available through all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason.
I think abortion is basically like you taking someone else's life, because as soon as the baby is conceived, the baby starts growing, so eventually you're killing someone's life. And I don't think I would consider it myself, because if you look at it, they could have been growing up, becoming a doctor, becoming a lawyer or something, and now you're taking that opportunity away from them. Personally, I think it depends on the person as well, because like even though the law also makes the like provision for a lot of people, say for instance, like they don't have the needs to care care for the child, so then they would go for abortion. So I think it's based on someone's personal opinion. But my personal opinion, it is you would be taking someone else's life.
Sommige mensen voelen het, dat was onbeplande seks wat hulle gehad het, en benodig dit om abortie te doen, because misschien weet hulle nie, die pa is van die kind die, en hulle kan misschien nie een kind opbring nie, maar hulle denk aan die gedachte, dat hulle die kind kan vir iemand anders geven, die kind kan iets groots bekomen in die wereld, maar abortie is eigenlijk een zonde, want is iemand se lewe wat jy vat, en tweedens om abortie te doen, is net die recht in die oe, wat soos volgens die Bijbel dit beskryf, want dit is iemand se lewe wat jy van hom al wegvat.
I don't support it. I think it's wrong to take a life. God put that life there, so you take it away. You don't have that right. In terms of health, I did life sciences at school. You know, some people say it's a cell, and no, it's okay to take it out when it's still a cell during the early stages of pregnancy, but I just see it as a life.
I don't necessarily believe in it. But when it comes to cases like rape and unplanned, then I would deem it as acceptable.
I think what we're going to have is sort of a split in our country as far as state legislation goes. So it's going to be either like states are going to be like super red on the issue of abortion, and the preborn are going to be protected, you know, at the moment of conception, or it's going to be super blue and it's going to be, you know, abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy for any elective abortion, you know, any reason through all 9 months of pregnancy. I just don't think there's going to be a ton of states sort of in the middle that are like, well, okay, you can't get an abortion, you know, past the first trimester, or you can't get an abortion, you know, past the moment of a heartbeat or something. There will be a few that are like that, but I think states are going to sort of draw a hard line on this. It's going to be, you know, one way or another. And I think that's where, you know, the bulk of states are going to fall. We already, you know, see this sort of shaking out, but people need to understand that this is just going to get more heated, more divisive. It's going to get worse. And guys, it should. I mean, if anything is worth battling over, if anything is worth fighting over, if anything is honestly worth getting into a civil war over, if there's anything worth really just taking it to a ground battle, it's this. It's the killing of our most innocent human beings in the womb. It's this. This is it. I mean, I can't think of anything else. I mean, we were willing to battle against slavery, right? And why did we do that? Well, because people were treating slaves, they were treating black people as if they were subhuman, as if they should not have equal rights as other human beings. And that exact same thing can be said for the preborn in our country right now. Now, you know, slaves were treated that way because of the color of their skin, because of their station in life. The preborn are treated this way just because of their age and their location. But they are fully human. They are complete human beings. They're just young, and they're in the womb instead of out of the womb. But they are fully human being, but we have been treating them as subhuman, just as people treated the slaves. And we were willing to go to battle over those basic human rights for slaves. And I'm certainly not calling people to take up arms or anything. I'm just saying, like, if there was ever a something to go to battle over, it is this. And, you know, I think that we have to be ready for any and every possibility. Already, these, you know, Supreme Court justices who stood up, they did not stand up because they are pro-life, by the way. They stood up because there is not a constitutional right to abortion, period. Abortion is not in the Constitution at all, okay? Roe v. Wade was decided on a right to privacy. And Biden's solicitors, if you listen to the Dobbs case, they did such a poor job at defending the right to abortion in the Constitution. I knew they were going to lose because they did such a poor job. If they would have done a good job, I would have given them props. But they did such a poor job, okay? Because when Justice Clarence Thomas asked them, you know, what are you fighting for? What right are you fighting for? Where does abortion fit in the Constitution? Is it the right? And he asked them, is it the right to liberty? Is it the right to privacy? Is it the right to freedom? And the woman said, well, it's the right to all of those things. It is the right to freedom. It is the right to liberty. It is the right to privacy. But that's not why Roe was put in the Constitution. It was specifically voted on and made constitutional because of the right to privacy, not because of the right to liberty, not because of the right to freedom. That the answer to that question alone lost her battle. That answer alone lost her fight because she could not adequately answer why abortion needed to remain constitutional. That answer alone lost her argument. And Justice Alito's leaked draft explained so beautifully, if you haven't read it, it's long, but even if you haven't skimmed it over, it's a beautiful argument because he argues so perfectly why abortion doesn't fit into the Constitution.
Right, if you are just tuning into Good News Community Radio, the station that brings you hope, you are listening to Vaughn on Livestream, which is your weekly dose of life. And this week, we are in the middle of a discussion about the leaked Supreme Court justice documents, all 98 pages of them that were leaked in America, regarding the Roe versus Wade case that could be overturned and possibly will be overturned very soon in America from a federal level. Let's get back to what Abby Johnson was saying.
The right to privacy is such a specific right. People are saying, oh, well, this is gonna affect us in so many other ways. I honestly can't think of anything else that would currently be affected by the right to privacy. So, you know, of course, the left, they're coming up with all kinds of things to be fearmongers, but the right to privacy is so specific. I just can't think of anything else that would fit under the right to privacy that is would currently now be in jeopardy because Roe is going to be overturned. This is sort of where we are right now. Right now, people are at the homes of these Supreme Court justices who have offered an opinion to overturn Roe. They're doxing them, they're threatening them, they're threatening their children, their families. You know, I'm not concerned at all that anyone is going to change their minds because these are justices of principle and constitutionalist justices. They did not make this decision based on a popular vote or something like that. They made their decision based on the fact that they're looking at the Constitution and making a decision based on that. But, I think there is a, these are the same people who, when they did not get what they want, they torched our cities. These are adults who act like toddlers, who throw, you know, wall-eyed fits when they don't get what they want. So I think there is room for concern. These are not women who, I just saw an article, I didn't actually read the article, but I just saw an article pop up on my page. It said, it was from Yahoo News. It says, women on TikTok say hookup culture will be absolutely decimated if Roe v. Wade is overturned. And I can't even say what I want to say because it's, some things shouldn't be said, but like now you can't hook up with, you know, every dude that comes across your path and now go and abort his child without worry, you know. And then there was some guy that, you know, I said, sort of said that on my Twitter, and, you know, some guys like, you know, ladies and men, it's both or neither. And I mean, I guess that's true, but here's the thing. Women truly are the gatekeepers here in our society when it comes to sex. And we have got to start being honest about that. Men will do what women allow. And that's really why we are in this situation to begin with. There are so many women that are running into abortion clinics today who are, you know, having abortions, their boyfriends, their husbands, their whatever. They don't even know that they're going to have abortions. The guys don't even know that they're pregnant. And women have really gotten themselves into this situation because women are the gatekeepers of our own bodies. And that's a conversation that nobody's willing to have. That's a conversation that you know, people want to act like men and women have the same responsibility over women's bodies. And that's not true. Men have a responsibility over their bodies and women have a responsibility over their bodies. And men are not going to have sex with a woman if a woman says no. I mean, unless he rapes her, which is criminal. And we have got to start having real conversations about this. I mean, I have real conversations about this with my 15-year-old. So I don't know as a society why we can't have real conversations about women being the gatekeepers of their own bodies and saying, you know what, I'm going to set a boundary early. I'm going to set a boundary early in my life. I'm going to go around and, you know, to the club and look like this and dress like this and act like this and allow men to have his way with me. And I'm not going to treat my body like that. Why aren't we having those sorts of conversations? The idea that we're not ashamed about some of the actions that we are participating in, about some of the behavior that we are participating in, is exactly why our society is in the shape that it's in. We need a little more shame that sex equals babies. And it just makes me so, so thankful for God's rescuing mercy, because I know so many of us listening here used to be women who have laid on that abortion clinic table, who are now forgiven by God, who now see the error of our ways, or we are people who used to be pro-choice or whatever it is. And I am so thankful every day that I am not one of those women. And I'm on the right side of history now, that Roe is going to be placed in the ash heap of history. And I'm thankful to be here. And I know all of you are as well, who are listening. So,
right. Thank you for tuning in once again to Livestream, your weekly dose of life. And you have just finished listening to Abby Johnson as she gave us a detailed breakdown of what we can expect to happen in America post the overturning of the court case Roe versus Wade, which happened back in 1973. And as you guys can hear, this is not just a celebration or a victory that we can shout out and say, yay, we have won the war. Because as we heard Abby Johnson speak about, if Roe versus Wade is overturned, you will have roughly 26 states, which is great. I'm not saying that this is not great, but you'll have 26 states in America that will literally be banning abortion, and you will have the other 24 states sort of going against them. So what you could look at here, and this is what Abby Johnson is saying, if we are not careful, there could be, because we know how people react, especially the extreme left or extreme right. You can go both ways with this. That's why I'm very happy to say that as Christians, we cannot call ourselves conservative or liberal. We are God-centric, we are Bible-centric, and the Bible is not liberal or conservative. If you read the Bible in certain parts, it's either very conservative and it can also be very liberal. So I don't like being grouped into the category of conservative or liberal or left or right. I am a believer of the way and I follow Jesus Christ, so I'm not a conservative, but we can hear with what Abby Johnson had to say that this could cause a lot of violence and conflict in America with people who are for and against, even though Roe versus Wade will be overturned. I believe a lot of prayer is needed for the USA people and as a nation, and we can pray that all the right decisions are made and that people react in the right way and that Christians react in the right way and don't cause more harm, but be there for those that are going to be in need the most during these times of upheaval in our society regarding God's way and man's way. Because that's all that it boils down to, guys, is we either follow the Bible or we follow self. There is no sort of in between. Everything in between is just leaning towards self. In the corporate Christian scene, that we start realizing that if we don't take ownership for anything that we do, then we are not shining the light the way we are supposed to be shining our lights. Remember, we are not here to make the world a better place, guys. The world cannot be a better place. It is the world. And we are here and we are then passed on to glory, or we are, for some of us who will still be here when the end times happen and our Lord comes back in a cloud of glory. But until those days happen, we can't sit back and just wait. We need to be out there. Like James 1:27 says, like the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18 to 20 says, all authority has been given to us. We are then supposed to be going out there. So let's be the change. Let's make the difference in people's lives the way we were meant to as Christians, by telling our story to those that need to hear it the most and delivering that gospel message of the good news of Jesus Christ. So this is Vaughan, aka the Cyber Hitchhiker, and we are busy attending the Association of Christian Media, the ACM National Convention that happens once a year up in Joburg, and we'll be there for 4 days, and I'll be reporting back on everything that goes on there back to you guys to really encourage you when it comes to creating good Christian content as a form of discipleship for those out there that need to be exposed to the gospel and to us Christians who are just looking for quality content to consume. But it has to be that godly content. And we all have that within us. Our stories are what we use in order to engage with people. So you can look forward to me reporting back on the Association of Christian Media's conference when we get back. Same time, same place next week, only on Good News Community Radio, the station that brings you hope. This is Vaughan from Livestream, your weekly dose of life, saying goodbye and God bless. Oh, I don't believe in accidents. Miracles, they don't just happen by chance. As long as my God holds the world in his hands, I know that there's no such thing as unplanned.